listening to Enduring Words for Troubled Times, a daily devotional brought to you by Pastor David Guzik for Enduring Word.
Today, as we take a look at Numbers chapter 20, verses 12 and 13, I want you to think of this phrase, "It's really up to us." You'll see what I mean. Numbers chapter 20, verses 12 and 13, where we read, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, 'Because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land that I have given them.' This was the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel contended with the Lord, and he was hallowed among them." Moses didn't blow it very often, but he sure did here in Numbers chapter 20. The people needed water, and Moses vented his frustration directly against the people and indirectly against the Lord. After he did it, the Lord confronted him with the words of the text that I just read to you, Numbers chapter 20, verses 12 and 13. The first few words are a surprise. God told Moses, "Because you did not believe me." What, did Moses become an atheist? No, he became what we might call a practical atheist. In his mind, he believed in God, but that belief didn't properly translate into action. Moses' sinful attitude and action was rooted in unbelief. He didn't really believe God when he told Moses to speak to the rock, not to strike it. It wasn't only an act of unbelief, it was also an unholy act. God told Moses that he didn't hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Moses made God look no different than an angry man, or just the same as one of the temperamental pagan gods. Moses did not reflect the heart and the character of God before the people. If Moses sinned in this way, his punishment was appropriately hard. God told him, "You shall not bring this congregation into the land." Because of this sin, Moses would not lead Israel into the promised land. This was the land he dreamed of and felt called to as a child in the palaces of Egypt. He wanted to complete the job of delivering God's people from bondage in Egypt to the promised land of Canaan, but he would not complete that task. God would use another man to finish the job. This was only painful to Moses because of his faithful heart. An unfaithful man doesn't hurt at the idea that he won't complete what he believes that God wanted him to do. When God declared that the generation that responded in unbelief would perish in the wilderness, we might have thought, and Israel might have thought, and Moses might have thought, that he was exempt from that decree. After all, Moses was Moses. But a great leader, as Moses, was still a man subject to God and God's law. This may seem an excessively harsh punishment for Moses. After all, with only one slip-up, now he must die short of the promised land. But Moses was being judged by a stricter standard because of his leadership position with the nation and because he had a uniquely close relationship with God. It is right for teachers and leaders to be judged by a stricter standard, as indicated in James chapter 3, verse 1. Now, of course, it's wrong to hold teachers and leaders to a perfect standard, but we should be further along than the people on these basic issues of unbelief and honoring the holiness of God. The conduct of the people was worse than Moses, but that was irrelevant. Worst of all, Moses defaced a beautiful picture of Jesus' redemptive work through the rock that provided water in the wilderness. The New Testament makes it clear that this water-providing, life-giving rock was a picture of Jesus. You can look that up in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. Jesus, being struck once, provided life for all who will drink, so to speak, of him. But it was unnecessary. and unrighteous that Jesus would be struck again, much less again twice, because the Son of God needed only to suffer once. We can now come to Jesus with words of faith, as Moses should have only used words of faith to bring life-giving water to the nation of Israel. Moses ruined, so to speak, this picture of the work that Jesus intended. Sadly, on this rare occasion, Moses did not honor God before the people. But notice how Numbers chapter 20, verse 13 ends. And he was hallowed among them. At the end of it all, God was seen as holy among the children of Israel. Moses did not hallow God in this incident, but God hallowed himself through the correction of Moses. God will get his glory, and God will be hallowed. But will it come through my obedience, or will it come through my correction? Friend, it's really up to us. Let's endeavor to trust in the Lord and put our faith and our obedience in him. And let's see God hallow himself, glorify himself through our obedience. It's a much better way to go.
Thanks for listening. For more information about Pastor David Guzik and his ministry, please visit enduringword.com.